Now we have Linda and Danny Kinsler on the line. How are you doing, Linda?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Danny?
Hello, Danny. Oh, Danny boy.
Hello.
Hi, Danny. How are you doing?
Good. And yourself?
Good, good. And we also have Brenda Harkin. How are you doing, Brenda?
Hello, Ray. Good, thank
good.
You.
Thanks to all three of you for joining us today. What we're going to talk about now is having a baby at home. So Linda has had baby Henry at home last June. Danny is the dad and Brenda is the midwife. So there's all your roles outlined there. So I suppose we start with you, Linda. You're sort of the star. You've the starring role in all this, don't you?
Oh. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Yeah. So Henry is your third child.
He is. Yeah. So yeah, Henry's the third.
Yeah. And he's the first boy. And what are the girls' names?
So Rose, she's almost seven. She'll be seven in July. And then we have Alice, who just turned four in March.
And you gave birth to both Rose and Alice in hospital.
I did, yes.
Yeah, the sort of traditional way, as we would know it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. So Rose went according to plan. Alice, not so much.
Yeah, well, I suppose... Well, like when I got pregnant on Rose, it was just the way I thought it was to happen, like go to hospital. And I didn't really know of any other way, to be honest. And home birth, I obviously would have heard of it, but it was never something that would have entered my head. I know it wasn't really a done thing. So just at that time, the hospital was the way I went straight away. And it was a straightforward birth and everything like that. Everything went according to plan. I got an epidural, which, you know, I just thought was the thing to do as well. And it can be a great thing for people. And it was fairly straightforward. And then Alice, I suppose I just found myself anxious even on my pregnancy and Alice about the birth. I started thinking about, well, what if it doesn't go as well this time? And, you know, every birth can be so different. It was in the back of my mind that, oh God, what if I wasn't able to get pain relief? And it was just this big nightmare scenario that I had created myself, I suppose, because there was just that fear. And I don't know, maybe I'm not the only one that
I wonder, is that common for second babies? Because
I wonder,
We'll talk to Brenda about that after. Yeah, go on, sorry.
Ignorance is bliss a little bit,
yes,
I think.
Exactly,
you know, on your
exactly.
first.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yeah, yeah.
You get a bit more anxious on the second time round, I think.
Yeah. And then I suppose you were proved right in a way.
Yeah. So everything that I had worried about kind of came true, and it was really scary for me. I hadn't prepared myself for the eventuality of having to give birth without pain relief or the epidural. I was banking on it happening again, the same as it did on the first. And I didn't really go to any other place and thinking that I might have to do it any other way. So she came kind of a lot quicker. She was 10 days early and the labour was quite fast, and everything was a bit fast and furious and a bit crazy in hospital. And I was just terrified, to be honest. I wasn't prepared. Right. I wasn't in a great place that way.
And there were sort of not huge complications, but some complications.
Yeah, a couple. Like, I mean, I had to have an episiotomy because it was quite fast and that kind of thing. So yeah, it wasn't ideal. It wasn't nice, and it was just I was really afraid, and I suppose I was a bit traumatised by the whole thing, because I had gone from, oh yeah, I'll just go in and have the baby, I'll get the epidural and things will probably go this way, and then my fear started coming to reality during the labour when I realised, oh no, I'm not actually going to get a chance to have any pain relief here, she's coming too fast, I can't do it. So that was my thinking on it, that I wasn't going to be able, and I was totally incapable of it. And it was, it was hard, and it was very painful because I was so afraid. I think the fear just took over.
Right. And then did yourself and Danny have chats about going again, as they say, euphemistically?
Yeah. Exactly. So we would have, since we got married, we chatted about having three children. It was just something that we had kind of planned for and hoped for. But after this experience, I was so kind of, as I said, traumatised that I thought, oh no, there's no way I can ever go through that again. It was horrific. And I just tried to blank it out and say, no, we're not going to do that again. We have two perfect little girls now and they have each other, and everything was, you know, that's the way we kind of left it. Now, we weren't 100% on it, but I will say, we were about 90% sure that we couldn't go there again.
But they say, whether it's scientifically proven or not, that whatever it is about the human brain, it has a way of forgetting all that trauma. And so you go from never again to, all right, maybe.
Yes.
Be nice to get a boy. Be nice to get a boy.
Well, for me, it was more that I kind of, I worked on a few things, I suppose. Like when I got this longing for another baby again, I thought, oh God, where is this after coming out of? And like, how would I do this again? And I just thought there must be a more positive way around it. I must be actually capable. People have babies all the time and there has to be a more positive way around it. Why am I so afraid? And that kind of thing. So that's when I started addressing the trauma really that I experienced on the birth of Alice and addressing the reasons around that. And it was then I came across the option of home birth, and thankfully a cousin of mine had had a baby at home not long before, you know, or in around that time. So I went to her for some information and she was brilliant, and she introduced me to the concept of home birthing and hypnobirthing as well.
Okay.
Which was just amazing. It resonated with me, and I felt really empowered after kind of looking into that avenue.
And does that involve, will I speak to Brenda about, I suppose, hypnobirthing? She's the expert. Yep. How are you doing, Brenda?
Hi, Ray.
Yeah. So you're a midwife who, I suppose, specialises in home births.
Yes.
So before we get to the hypnobirthing, just give us a little brief history of yourself and why you ended up doing that and not doing the traditional sort of medicalized version, if you like.
Well, I suppose I'm a midwife for about 30 years, and I had combined my love of travel with birth. So I went to Saudi Arabia, to Africa, in the UK and France. And I suppose I saw a different way of birth. You know, culturally, birth is different around the world, but there is one thing that people have in common. You know, they want to have the best possible birth experience, and fear really is a factor in how birth rolls out. So, you know, in the UK, for example, I would have seen mobile epidurals, and the effect of being able to stay mobile and walk and gravity is really important for birth. And in Queen Charlotte's Hospital, I would have seen, you know, baby massage and the research on doing baby massage and how it helps against depression.
Is that an emergency beep for you? No.
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, no, just in case, just in case somebody's water is broken or something like that.
No. We are almost on COVID,
there is a thing, I don't know why, I've said this before as well, that, you know, there's something about having a baby been born live on air, but anyway, it's not going to happen today. Okay.
Anything can happen in birth.
Yeah, anything can happen, yeah. It's not predictable, yeah, for sure. Yeah. You've seen all these different ways that babies are born, and you came back home, and you worked locally down in Wexford.
Wexford, yeah. I was there for 9 years, and I felt that there was something missing, you know, that more choice was required, particularly around antenatal classes. You know, our traditional model focuses very much on the medical model. Mm. So, you know, things like yoga and hypnobirthing, there's a lot of research on how it helps to calm the nervous system and to relieve stress. And we know that when women are stressed, then the physiological effects pass to the baby. So the calmer a mother is, the calmer her baby is, the less likelihood there is of interventions. And we also know that stress causes complications or can lead to complications early on in pregnancy from 26 weeks on, such as diabetes, high blood pressure, and preeclampsia and delayed growth for baby.
It makes sense, because when we're stressed, we produce cortisol, isn't it? Is that the name of the...
Correct.
And obviously, because the baby is in the womb, that's going to have an effect on the baby, because the cortisol is going through the bloodstream.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, and long-term cortisol exposure for babies can cause reduced growth.
Yeah.
And so then you have the need for serial scans and perhaps induction of labour. And so it's the case that intervention leads to intervention.
And Brenda, is that old sort of old wives' adage, you know, happy mammy, happy baby, happy mother, happy baby?
You know, it's not just old wives' tales, because the research is really clear.
That is the case. Yeah, that's the case.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So when did you turn your back on the hospital and go out doing home birthing?
Well, I started off working with education in the community, and I went part-time at that, and then in the end of 2019, I joined Private Midwives.
Okay.
So I was working in education plus home birthing.
Okay, so
so I've been there since.
We left Linda talking about hypnobirthing. So hypnosis, is it hypnosis or is it a variation of that?
It is hypnosis, yes. Some hypnobirthing programs put less emphasis on hypnosis. I'm a qualified hypnotherapist and I would place a strong emphasis really on hypnosis. Uh-huh. But people think about hypnosis as, you know, stage hypnosis and loss of control, where it's actually just a deep meditative state, really. It's about travelling deep inside, connecting with your body, connecting with your baby, so that you can access calm and be present in the moment. So that those hormones, we can tap into those hormones of oxytocin and endorphins, which are the same hormones that you produce in lovemaking.
Yeah.
So there's a protective element in those hormones and they build upon themselves, so that the more relaxed a mother is, the calmer a mother is, the more labour unfolds and there's less likelihood of intervention.
I can see why you're good at your job, Brenda, because I'm already
I'm going into a relaxed state.
Yes. Just keep talking there, keep talking, somebody wake me up at 4:30. So Linda, I can see the benefits already of having somebody like Brenda on your side, so to speak.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. You can just hear it in her voice, can't you? She's so calm and caring. Yeah. And the first time I met Brenda, you know, I think I was only 6 weeks pregnant and she called my house for a chat and she said at the end of the chat, and we got on great, and she was just so lovely. She said, "Now, you don't have to go with me as your midwife. You can pick, you know, there's other midwives that you can choose from." I was like, "Oh no, I'm definitely having you." So
put me in your diary. So I suppose the reason we want to talk to you in particular, Linda, is because you have had, I suppose, three different experiences, and everybody on every birth is different. But you've had a successful sort of, you know, hospital birth, then a not so successful one, and a home birth. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the prenatal care then. So there was, you met Brenda at 6 weeks.
So that was just an introductory meeting and to go through my previous pregnancies and births and just get my history and that kind of thing. So there's different packages that private midwives offer. So basically the one that I went with was where my care kicked in at 24 weeks. So from that point on, Brenda called my home for my appointments. I didn't have to go to the hospital at all from that point on. So I think I only had one scan in the hospital early in my pregnancy, and after that it was all appointments at home with Brenda, just checking the baby's heartbeat and my blood pressure and all that kind of thing. So it was lovely, it was really relaxing, and I had gone with this route before COVID was ever a thing, and then, you know, when that all kicked off, I was just so grateful that I had chosen it, because it was great not to have to be going to the hospital at that time. So it just worked out really well for me.
Are you still there, Danny?
I am indeed.
Right, I thought you were off building a kitchen or something like that. So talk to me from the man's point of view just a little bit about the chats that you know Linda says, "I'm thinking about hypnobirthing and a home birth," and what was your reaction?
Oh, it was just positive straight away. It sounded great to me. And I knew her cousin had gone through it as well, and they go, "I'm great." So it was just positive from the get-go.
Yeah.
I was behind it 100%.
And were you included in chats when Brenda came around?
Oh, yeah. It was like, it wasn't, you know, not for everyone, but sometimes if you're going into a hospital or into a doctor's, you're kind of a bit on edge or whatever. This was just in our own home, chatting with as if we knew each other all our lives. And, you know, even when Lynn said there about Brenda coming to check the baby's heartbeat and all, the girls were involved in that as well, like. They were there.
Oh, Rose and Alice. Yes. So,
these things like that just makes it all so special.
Well, like you're most relaxed in your own home. So that's
exactly.
So, Linda, just in the lead up, then that anxiety that you experienced in the lead up to Alice's birth, none of that was there.
No, not at all. I had a really smooth pregnancy. I was relaxed. The hypnobirthing really helped with that. It was just something that I really worked on throughout the pregnancy. So I'd listen to positive affirmations and birthing affirmations, and I'd do some relaxation techniques and breathing techniques and things like that. So I just practiced that every evening before I go to bed or whenever I got a spare minute, really.
Yeah.
And that really helped kind of just keep me in a relaxed state. I just looked forward to it. I did, you know, positive visualizations about how the birth would go, how I pictured it and all that. And it does really work. And I know some people might think that's a bit out there, but it did really work for me.
You know, humans gave birth to babies long before medicine was invented. You know, we have to remember that. Isn't that important, Brenda?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. And sorry, I dropped out there at some point. I don't know if I missed something, but totally, yeah. I mean, animals, when they give birth, they will nest at home, you know, and they will find a place where they feel safe, where they feel secure, where, you know, labour can unfold by itself.
Yeah.
And so it's just important, I guess, to get back to nature.
Yeah.
And to feel safe.
There's a whole debate around the over-medicalisation of birth, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We think about birth as a medical event, whereas birth is a natural physiological process. And we think of it, you know, that it's likely to go wrong. And, you know, the 1% of people who give birth naturally are considered more to be lucky than anything else, whereas the inverse is true. It's only about 1% of births that actually have, you know, an emergency.
Right.
So when we think about mums, say, the second time round, who would have had a lovely experience, and then the fear comes in the second time, it's about the language around birth as well. You know, it becomes medicalized. We think about medicine and having to have surveillance all the time. And so women, even when they have a lovely birth the first time around, begin to think, well, maybe that was just luck. And it's human nature to kind of focus on the negative and to have that fear grow. And the more negativity we encompass around us, then the more likely we are to, you know, see things as negative.
It's still a very small percentage of people who have home births. I'm looking at, it's 1% of the population. I'm assuming
Correct.
That population is the population of births. So it's in around 600 a year. Would that be right?
Somewhere around, yeah.
So it's a very small number compared to the 60,000 births in the country.
Yes, it is. But the demand is there for home birth. So I think if we had more midwives, women would take that choice for themselves.
Okay.
You know?
Well, let's talk about the event, because that's so Linda, you're best positioned, I suppose. So
yes.
so your due date was when, and when did things start happening?
So my due date was the 15th of June, and on the 7th, very early morning of the 7th of June, I woke with some cramping. Like, I had it off and on for the couple of weeks actually before that, and there was signs that the baby might come a little bit early, but anyway, he held on. And so yeah, it was just about a week before my due date, and I woke, so it was about 3 a.m. and I was wondering, is this something now? And I was back and forth to, you know, getting up from to the toilet, going to bed, going, I didn't know what to do with myself. But so I knew then, yeah, no, something more is happening here. And then my waters broke, so I said it to Danny, and we rang my parents, and they came down and at like 5 a.m. and collect. They only live up the road, so it was great. They collected the girls, and they headed off there. And I rang Brenda, and she said, "I'm on my way." So she was here at the house within an hour. And yeah, I just got myself into, Danny started filling the pool. We had a birthing pool arranged. That was the plan. So he had started filling that, and I just got myself relaxed, did my breathing techniques, and the contractions were building all right. But I was just fine. I was relaxed. And
was there music on in the background?
I didn't actually have music. No, we had talked about that, and that's something that, you know, Brenda suggested, and that I had heard about myself, that, you know, make a playlist of your favourite songs.
Didn't do that.
I just didn't do it.
Candles,
I don't know why.
Candles, scented candles.
No,
scented candles, right, okay. Mood lighting, any mood lighting? No.
Well, it was dark, I suppose,
okay.
Like, I didn't even go. I suppose once it started happening, I just got myself into my own little zone, and I just stayed there.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, Brenda arrived then, and when she examined me, she said, well, it's still a bit early, so maybe Danny we'll hold off on filling the pool. We don't want it done too early. But actually then, not long after that, things started escalating a bit, and I had been using the TENS machine as a distraction, you know, from the contractions. But then I realised, no, that's not really doing much. So Brenda then knew at that stage, oh, actually, you know, things are speeding up a bit here. So Danny, you know, start filling the pool again. But you just don't realise the amount of water those pools actually take, and the temperature that's needed to have it right. So unfortunately, we just didn't get it filled in time. But it didn't even faze me. I was just so in my own little zone and concentrating. Actually, I said after, if Brent had to say to me, okay, it's time to get into the pool now, I might have even said, no, I'm staying here, I'm not okay, moving, you know. So yeah, I think you just have to do with what.
And did you have a birthing ball?
Yes, I did.
So that's like one of those big exercise balls, is it?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's great. It's great for your labour and for your contractions. You can, you know, move your hips. Brenda did a lot of massage and counter pressure, a massage and kind of pressure on my hips and things like that. And she showed Danny how to do that. And then he was able to do that. So he was able to be really hands on in the whole.
All hands on hips. All hands on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like a wonderful event.
Really was. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Labour is tough, and I'm not taking away from that at all. But it's so different when you're ready for it, when you're prepared, and when you're relaxed. Yeah. You can just work with your body as opposed to kind of being afraid and pulling back. And, you know, it actually creates more pain in my experience anyway. Whereas this time, yes, you know, it was hard work, but I really worked with it, and it's nearly empowering. That's what it felt like to me.
And Danny, I'll just bring you in before we go. So you're there, obviously. It's your house and all that sort of thing. You're the dad. So Brenda hands you little Henry. Is that the way it went?
Well, when Henry arrived, Brenda and another midwife, Liz, just took care of, you know,
cleaning them up
in the first few minutes.
Yeah.
Just told me, say, look, Danny, relax now. Everything's grand. Go and have a cup of tea. So they'll just go into the kitchen, have a cup of tea and ring around and tell everyone he was born. And then after that, then I just back into the sitting room and just, she handles me and I sat on my couch and just stared at him.
That's all you can do, isn't it? You're bringing a tear to my eye. You just stare at them and go, wow, oh, look at you, look at you.
Yeah, I'm getting well up myself.
It's a very emotional time, and to be able to do it, you know, after having a cup of tea in your own kitchen and back onto your own sofa, like that's hard to beat.
Experience. Yeah. Unbelievable.
We've run out of time. I thought we had too much time, but it's a happy ending anyway for little Henry. And Brendan, we might, if you don't mind, have you back on when we can have people in studio.
Wonderful.
Would you do that? Would you come up and just talk to me? I don't care what you say. Mm-hmm. And Linda, listen, congratulations, Brian. And Danny, congratulations, and I trust that the two older sisters have welcomed Henry into the world.
Oh, they're brilliant. Yeah. They're absolutely brilliant. Yes.
Brilliant. Okay.
Thanks a million.
See you. Bye. See you, Linda. See you, Danny. See you, Brenda. Bye now. Bye. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.